This is the morning sermon from Hillcrest Bible Church in Portland, Oregon. Pastor Gary W. Custis is preaching and teaching through the Gospel of John. For more information on Hillcrest Bible Church, please visit our website at hillcrestbible.org.
So this morning I wish for us to consider the question, what do you have that you cannot lose? And you say, well, that would certainly not include my car keys or my cell phone, because I lose those all the time. In fact, you can lose almost anything. You can lose almost everything. You can lose your possessions. You can lose your home, your wealth, your job. You can lose your family. You can lose your friends. You can lose your reputation. You can lose your integrity. You can lose your health. You can lose your mind. You can lose your life. You can lose almost everything that you now possess. Almost everything. What you cannot lose is what God gives you forever. And He gives you salvation in Jesus Christ. It can never be lost. And He gives you the Holy Spirit. He can never be lost. Jesus Christ taught His disciples about the ministry of the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is the key to life and ministry. Now, prior to leaving on vacation, I gave you an assignment. So pass your homework papers to the front. I guess the dog ate your homework, so you don't have it. But I ask you to look at the five references to the Holy Spirit in the Upper Room Discourse. And I want to look at each one of those statements and do a quick review of this Upper Room and the ministry of Jesus Christ in the Upper Room. And I want to look at these statements with a purpose. And the purpose is to encourage your heart. To encourage your heart. And the reason why I know that this will encourage your heart is because it's an encouragement to my heart to know the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now remember, Jesus Christ in the Upper Room Discourse, He's leaving. And so He is coming to the disciples. He's gathered them together on the eve of His crucifixion. And He has opportunity to talk to them about the matters of great importance. And one of the matters of great importance, in fact, it is the theme of this passage. There are other matters as well. But one of the matters He talks about is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And He could have had a small little book in the Bible called the Book of the Holy Spirit and put these five statements all in a row. But instead, He gave this as a discourse. And He made the statement, and then He associated other truths with that statement. So I'm just going to look at the statements, but it's also important for you to go through and look at how He makes this statement and then what He says alongside of that statement as well. Because He separated the statement. So when He separates the statements, it means there's significance to the way in which Jesus Christ presented them. But there's also great significance in the statements themselves. And as I'm going through these statements, and I'm going to have to hurry to get through all of them, but I'm going to go through them, and I want you to observe three things about each one of the statements. The first thing is, in each statement, He talks about the Holy Spirit, where He comes from, and who He comes from. It's most important to note that this Holy Spirit that is coming from God. It's God from God. And He has interesting ways of saying that, but that's one of the points that He makes. The second point that He makes is who this Holy Spirit is. So he gives several descriptive statements about the Holy Spirit. And the third thing He says in each one of these statements is what He does. What He does. So there's a connection between all of these statements. And that's what I want you to see. Because in the first statement, he says, this is the Holy Spirit. And he talks about, he's going to abide with you. Now remember, Jesus Christ has said, I'm leaving. And when I go, the Spirit of God is going to abide with you, within you. But he's going to be the abiding presence. And then secondly, he says, he will be teaching you and reminding you all of the things that I've taught to you. The third thing he says, and he's going to bear witness of me. And you will bear witness of me as well. But it's the ministry of the Holy Spirit to bear witness of Jesus Christ. And then he talks about that witness when he says the Holy Spirit will, in the fourth statement, he will be convicting the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And then, having convicted this world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, then he guides the world, guides us and believers in the truth. So it's, he comes to abide in us, to remind us of all the truth of Jesus Christ, that we should be witnesses, but he's the one who convicts, and he's the one who guides in the truth. So the message of the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the Holy Spirit is absolutely necessary for the ministry of the church today, for the ministry of evangelism today, for all that God is accomplishing in the world today. And most important for us to see this. Now, as we go through, I'm going to make some statements, and you're going to note that I'm going to be a little bit repetitive, but at first I'm going to mention some things that you will see in the other statements. I won't spend time on them, so we're going to go, hopefully this will move a little quicker. But look at the first statement. John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. And he says this, having talked about in the capacity of our union in God, he says, There's a wonderful thing about our relationship with God in chapter 14, and that is that we are in God and God is in us. And part of this God in us is about the ministry of the Spirit, though the Father and the Son also take up their abode in us. So Jesus Christ is going to heaven to make an abode for us, but he takes up his abode in us with the Father as well and the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. So that's what's mentioned here in this passage. But notice verses 16 and 17. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, and he dwells with you, and will be in you. Now, the first thing I want to say is of those three things, I want to talk about where he comes from, the provision. And Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you. That's all that's said here. I ask the Father, and he will give you the Helper. So, the one thing you see this is there's a transaction that's going to take place for the Father. This is so important that he wants you to know that this one who's being sent is being sent because Jesus is making the request, I will ask the Father, and the Father he will give. So this is coming directly from God. Now we know the triune God, and we know Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, so we know that this is God from God. But at this point, he's just simply saying, I'm leaving. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I will be in you. You will be in me. But there's this special presence. I'm going to ask you, because my presence won't be here, you're going to have another presence from the Father. I'll ask him, and he will give this. So who is this presence? So we say it's from God. Well, the person he's mentioned as the helper. And that is the word parakletos. And you need to understand that this word helper refers to one who helps, and you ought to think about this, and I'll show you a passage of Scripture in just a moment. But he helps us in two senses. One is he ministers for us, and he helps to us. So there's this ministry that takes place for us. If you look at the usage of this word, it's used here in this passage, it's also used in 1 John chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2. And there it's used with reference to Jesus Christ. And it says, if anyone sins, we have an advocate. That's the word that's used, advocate. It's the word helper. It's the word parakletos. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus the righteous, and he himself is a propitiation for our sins. Now that's this word used in the sense of Jesus Christ is now in heaven with the Father, and when we sin, he is our helper. How is he helping? Well, he's our advocate before the Father, and he's the perfect advocate because he's the one who propitiated our sins with God the Father. So he is the perfect helper for us before God. So we have a helper there. But now, in this passage, it says, and I'm going to ask the Father, and the Father's going to give you a helper, and he's going to help you. Say, well, how does he help us? Well, there's a number of ways he helps us. In this passage, he becomes our teacher. He becomes the one who guides us in the truth. But also, we have in Romans chapter 8, verse 16, that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. That's, again, where the Spirit of God is ministering to us. And the Spirit of God also prays for us. So he's helping us by ministering to us. He's helping us by praying for the Father to also minister to us. He's a great helper. So that's why the word is translated helper in some senses, meaning helping me. He helps me, but also the advocate because he is helping me with the Father. And he's helping me to pray for me. And Jesus Christ is helping me to be my advocate when I sin before the Father. He pleads for our forgiveness. He pleads his precious blood, paid in full. So he's called the Spirit of God is called the helper. And he comes to help you. You need to think of the Spirit of God as a person because he is a person in this passage and he's described as such. But the person of the Holy Spirit comes to you and he comes to you with heart and soul and mind and the will of God. So there's something that's happening inside of you. You've been made new because you're saved, but now you have the Holy Spirit who comes with the very presence and the very word and the very will of God. And he's come to help you with that. That's wonderful truth. That's a great encouragement to the disciples when Jesus Christ is leaving. They go, if you're leaving, we're in trouble. I mean, you're the one that we want to be with. And Jesus says, well, I'm going to ask the Father. He's going to send another helper. He's going to help you. In fact, Jesus Christ is quite sure that he's going to help more so than he was helping in the right sense of that term. But this promise is not for the world. Because when he talks about what he does, now he's going to say this. Whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. Now that last statement, that will be in you, if you are an Old Testament saint, and you are not an Old Testament saint, but if you were an Old Testament saint, that is a trigger word. What do you mean, trigger word? Well, it triggers your thinking because when he says the Spirit of God will be in you, that's talking about the outpouring of the Spirit of God, which is promised in the Old Testament scriptures when God says, I'm going to restore the nation of Israel. And I'm going to restore the nation of Israel. And the Messiah is going to come. And I'm going to establish my kingdom. All these things are associated with this. and I'm going to establish a new covenant. Now, the covenant relationship is not, it's new in the sense of there are six covenants that are presented in a row, and all of these covenants are related, and all these covenants have relationship to one another. It's really the promise of Jesus Christ, the promise of salvation, the promise of Him coming as Savior and King. So we have all these promises that are lined up, but the final aspect of this promise is this new covenant. And in the new covenant, unlike the old covenant where it says the Holy Spirit will be with you, in the new covenant it says the Holy Spirit is going to be in you. That's the outpouring of the Spirit of God. And when Jesus Christ said that He abides with you and will be in you, that's like ringing a bell in the mind of the Old Testament saint saying, ding, 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 ding. We're talking about the restoration. We're talking about the kingdom of God. We're talking about the new covenant. We're talking about all that God has promised that He will accomplish. The Holy Spirit in us. And in verse 16, it says that He may be with you forever. Oh, there's no more departures. There's no more of the Holy Spirit coming and being like Jesus came for 3-year ministry, and then He goes, I'm going away. I'm leaving. There won't be any departure with the Holy Spirit because He comes forever. So you look at this and you say, this first statement about the Holy Spirit is talking about His permanent abiding presence with you. That's comforting. Because we falter and fail. And we know that we should be living for the Lord sometimes, and we're not living for the Lord. I'm not encouraging you not to live for the Lord, but I'm just simply saying we know that. But one thing I always know is that God always keeps His word. I may falter and fail, but He never falters and fails. And He's given me a helper. He's given you a helper. He's given the disciples a helper. They need help. They didn't know how much help they need. Neither do we. But we need His help. And He comes to be in us. That's a new covenant statement. Ezekiel chapter 36 says, I will put My Spirit within you. He's talking about the new covenant. I will put My Spirit within you and cause you to walk in My statutes, and you will be careful to observe My ordinances. It's when He takes the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God was with the people. He dwelt in the midst of the people. They were to dwell in the shadow of the Almighty. In the New Testament, He dwells in us. That's a superior aspect of the covenant relationship with God. And He's in us as our helper. He's come to help you. The Spirit of God, when you think of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, probably the Spirit of God is the most mysterious of the triune God. But you need to think of Him as the person of God because He is the person of God. He comes as God. He is God. But He comes to help you. I think it's fair when you say in your life, I'm struggling in my life. I think it's fair to say that we should come before God and say, Heavenly Father, please help us. Thank You for the helper of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, help us. Help me. Help me to know the truth. Help me to be what I should be. I need Your help. And it's wonderful to know that when we pray that prayer, that is a delightful prayer. God never says, no, you don't need My help. Be strong on your own. He says, no, you do need My help. Because the only thing that we can be and do what He wants us to be and do is for Him to help us. That brings us to the second statement. I got to tell you, we're moving faster now. John chapter 14, verses 25 and 26. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, that's the Paraclete, Parakletos, the Holy Spirit, now you know it's the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Here again we have the provision. Now it's the Father who sends Him. So now we're saying Jesus is going to ask the Father, and the Father will send Him, because what Jesus asks for, the Father will do. Because Jesus, there's one God, one heart, mind, and will of God. And when the Son asks the Father will answer. And he will send. So the Spirit will be sent. And that gives the picture of this divine mission. He is sent by the Father just as Jesus Christ was begotten of the Father and sent as well. He's the helper. That's the person that he is. He's described as a helper. And the additional word that's used here, by the way, the word helper is used in four of the five statements. So that's it's emphasized. You could say the Spirit in the others, but he's described as your helper. And he's always described your helper until you come to the final statement. But he's also the Holy Spirit. And to be the Holy Spirit, only God is holy. Because the holiness of God is the perfection of all of his attributes. The perfect character of God. We speak of holiness as somehow being holier than thou, but it's really the fullness of God. When God is love, he is completely perfect in his love. When God is kind, he is perfect in his kind. When God is just, he is holy in his justice. And the word of holiness means to the infinite degree that God possesses those attributes. We have love of God in us. We have the peace of God. We have the joy of God. But he has the holy peace, love, and joy in the fullness, the perfection of those attributes. And the Spirit who comes is the Holy Spirit. So he comes, and it says, what does he do in the second one? He will teach you all things. He will bring to your remembrance the things that I've said to you. This is the teaching ministry of Jesus Christ to the disciples and the teaching ministry of Jesus Christ to you and of God to you and of the Spirit of God to you. He will teach you all things. You say, well, we go to church to hear the pastor teach. The pastor can't teach. I can present the Word of God. But if you're impressed with the truth of God, it's because it's the Holy Spirit who teaches the truth. And that's why it's important for you to be reading the Bible. Because as you read the Bible, you have a teacher there who's helping you and guiding you in the truth. And he will remind you of the truth. That's all the function of the Holy Spirit. Because you see, we need the truth. We need God's truth. And Jesus Christ knew that his disciples needed his truth. And when he was talking to the disciples, one of the things that's so curious about the disciples is sometimes he would say something very plainly to them. I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be put on trial. They're going to crucify me. And I will be raised from the dead 3 days. And the disciples said, we don't know what he's talking about. See, you don't know what he's talking about? He says you're going to Jerusalem. He's going to be put on trial. He's going to be crucified. He's going to be raised from the dead. You don't know what's wrong with you guys? That's what he said he's going to do. But in order for them to have understanding, in order for us to have understanding, it requires the Spirit of God to impress that truth upon our hearts. So that's what he does. He's going to teach you all things. And so the Lord says to the disciple, I've been your teacher. I've been teaching you a lot of truth. And they've been learning a lot of truth. But it is the Spirit of God who is going to impress and teach that truth to your hearts, which is what we all need. Third thing, moving along. John chapter 15, verses 26 and 27. But when the Helper comes, okay, now he's coming. Note the difference. First, it is Jesus who's going to ask the Father, and the Father will give, and the Father will send, and the Spirit, he's going to come. That's active. That indicates, as Jesus Christ was sent, Jesus Christ was begotten, but he also came. And when it speaks of that coming, and likewise here in this passage, it means that he comes voluntarily. So you might say, well, he's the Spirit of God is in heaven and he's sent. So like, okay, I'll go. It's not like that. He's not, a reluctant, okay, Jesus asked me to go and the Father's sending me, so I'm... No, he says, he comes. He comes. So note that the ministry of the Holy Spirit to you is your helper. He's on a divine mission because he's sent by the Jesus, he's sent by the Father, but he also comes to you because he loves you. The Spirit of God loves you. He comes to you. It's an expression of his love for you. And when the Helper comes, whom I will send, so Jesus Christ is also sending him from the Father. That's talking about this provision. That is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father. Let me just stop there. When it's talking about the provision now, it's talking about, as I've mentioned, Jesus asking, the Father giving, the Father sending, Jesus sending, the Spirit coming. But there's this statement here, the one who proceeds from the Father. That word procession and proceeding from the Father means that the one who comes is the exact representation. Now, this is important because it's talking about he's going to bear witness. But the one who bears witness is perfect. He's the perfect witness because he's the exact representation of the Father. That's why Jesus said, I'm the exact representation of the Father too. Because Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. It's not suggesting that he is the Father and there's modalism, that Jesus is in different modes at different, or God is in different modes. But he's saying that there is unity in the Godhead as well as the diversity in the Godhead. But Jesus is the exact representation. In fact, that's what it says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. When he talks about being the exact representation, the precise copy. It's like the stamp. If you take a stamp and you put ink on it and you stamp it, you're going to get exactly what's on the stamp when you get on here. And the copy will be exactly what is according to this stamp. And when you have Jesus Christ, you have the precise copy of the Father. And when you have the Spirit who proceeds from the Father, you have the precise copy of the Father, which is the perfect witness. You can bear witness. And I can bear witness. But who's going to believe me? And who's going to believe the disciples? The disciples can say, well, we were with Jesus. He's the Son of God and he's the Savior. And somebody say, yeah, that's what you say. But who makes you so authoritative? So the disciples can say, well, I was with Jesus. I saw him. So, well, maybe you saw the wrong things. I don't necessarily believe everything that anyone tells me. There are a lot of people walking around telling me lots of things. I have to be discerning about the things that are told to me. But here in this passage it says, he will bear witness of me. That's what he's going to do. He bears witness. Evangelism is the ministry of God. Notice what it says after this. And you will bear witness also because you've been with me from the beginning. To bear witness is the word for martyr, martyrio. It means to witness. It means to testify. It means to say what you've seen and what you've heard and what you know. I can go bear witness and I can tell you, I know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and I know he is the Savior. Somebody says, have you ever seen Jesus? No, I've never seen him. Have you ever talked to him? Well, I pray to him, but I've never really had a conversation with Jesus. Well, then how do you know? Well, because the Bible says so. Well, who is standing behind the Bible? I said, well, the Holy Spirit is. And the Holy Spirit is the precise image, the express essence of God himself, who he himself is the witness of Jesus Christ. And that God bears witness through us is totally amazing. But just remember, when you bear witness, it's not your witness that is so convincing, but it is the witness of the Holy Spirit that is absolutely convincing. Because here you sit as one who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that He is the Savior, and that He is the Lord, and that He is the King. And you believe all of these things. And hopefully you not only believe these things, but you're willing to die for these things. What makes you so persuaded? You may say, well, I had a great Sunday school teacher. Really good Sunday school teacher who absolutely, your Sunday school teacher can't persuade you. Well, I had a great pastor. I had a great friend. And someone told me the truth. No, no. They're the means by which you are told. But if you are persuaded, you are persuaded by the expressed representation of God. The Holy Spirit comes to be the witness, and He witnesses the truth of Jesus Christ. And He witnesses the truth of the Father. Very accurate. So here you have the abiding presence of God, the Holy Spirit, with you. And He is the one who is going to teach you and to guide you in the truth. And here in this passage, as in the previous passage, He's the Spirit of truth. And this Spirit of truth would indicate that, again, His mission is truth-related. When you have the Spirit of truth, truth forever exists in the head, in the Godhead. It has to forever exist in the Godhead. God didn't make up truth for His creation. God is the truth for His creation. And when He says the Spirit of truth, now you know you are talking about God. I mean, it's very clear. But I mean, He says he's saying all this along. I'm going to ask the Father. He's going to send the Helper. This Helper who comes is the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of truth. Now you're not talking about an angel. You're not talking about a force. You're talking about a person. And you're talking about the person in the Godhead. You're talking about the Holy Spirit who Himself, He is concerned with the truth. Jesus Christ is the revelation of the truth. God is the source of the truth. Jesus is the application, the source of the truth. And you have now the Holy Spirit who is the teacher and the guide in the truth. It's His ministry. Truth is very important to God. We can take truth and say, well, truth doesn't really matter. In fact, in a lot of churches, truth does not matter. And with a lot of people, truth does not matter. In our society, we are a postmodern age which says there is no absolute truth, and it doesn't really matter because we've gotten along without it so far, so we can just keep getting along without it. God is the truth, and the Spirit of truth comes, and the Spirit of truth comes to bear witness of that truth. So here we have it. God's abiding presence, who teaches you, who then is the witness of the truth, and He witnesses through you. Now, how does He witness? That's the last two statements. Chapter 16, verses 7 and following. Nevertheless, I tell you, it's your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send Him to you. And when He has come... All these are expressions of this Helper who's described here. Again, being sent and coming. The source in God. It's always emphasizing, this is God coming. The Helper, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, here He comes. And it says, when He comes, He will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Pointed out to that word before, the word for convict means to shame. To shame. It means to disgrace. It means to prove that one is wrong. And that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Part of His ministry is a shaming ministry. Well, in what sense does He shame? Well, He shames us because we're sinners. And we don't really see our sin until we see the truth, until we have the Holy Spirit minister to us. And when we see our sinfulness, it's because the Holy Spirit shames us and says, you're a sinner before God. Shame on you. we'd go, whoa. You're disgraceful. You're disgraceful before God. You're wrong. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's part of His ministry. That's part of His witness. And that witness, by the way, is associated with you. That's one of the reasons why Christians get in trouble with non-Christians. Why is that? Because Christians see you coming, and they know that you're, non-Christians see you coming, and they know you're a Christian. And so your presence as a witness of Jesus Christ and the witness of the Holy Spirit becomes one in which, you know, they'll say to you, you're condemning me. And so I'm not condemning you. I'm not condemning you. I'm just telling you the truth, you know, for all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. You're condemning me. It's the Holy Spirit who condemns. Next time someone says that to you, you know, I don't even like being around you because when I'm around you, you are judgmental. You're hostile. You have hate speech. I don't have hate speech. But one of the things that happens when the truth is proclaimed, when you say, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, when you say, adultery is sin, when you say homosexuality is sin, when you say lying is sin, when you say cheating is sin, when you talk about that, it's the Holy Spirit who shames and disgraces and says you're wrong. When He says that, that's when people begin to sense it here, but they're likely to blame you. So you say, your presence is a condemning presence. It's not our presence, it's the ministry of the Holy Spirit that is a condemning presence. It's a shaming presence, it's a disgracing presence. But it's part of what He's doing, not just for the purpose of shaming and disgracing and saying you're wrong, but because when He's convicting the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and all of that, as we've seen, is in connection with Jesus Christ. Because He says in the passage when He's talking about this, He says of judgment, He says of sin because they do not believe in me, Jesus Christ says. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and they see me no more. Jesus Christ is the standard of sin. Jesus Christ is the standard of righteousness. Jesus Christ is the one who judged the ruler of this world. So we proclaim anytime you set forth Jesus Christ, you're setting forth a message that is a shaming, disgracing, condemning message. It has to be because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But if someone says to you, you know, you are condemning me. I say, no, it's not. I'm not condemning you. Read this passage. It's the Holy Spirit who is disgracing you and humbling you. Because when He humbles you in order that He may save you by His grace. But that's the next part. So if all He did was the fourth statement about the Holy Spirit, we'd all be in trouble because we'd be shamed and we'd be disgraced and we'd know that we're wrong. But notice what He says. And these two are connected just by one verse between them. He says in verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot hear them now. But when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all the truth. I'm so thankful for this statement that comes next. This, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you the things to come. And He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine, therefore I have said that He will take of Mine and declare it to you. He will guide you into all the truth. There's three things that are said about Him here. He will guide you into all the truth. He will disclose to you what is to come, and He will glorify Me. So the ministry of the Holy Spirit is first to pull the rug out from underneath you. To say, shame on you. You're disgraceful. You're wrong. And He is the one who persuades us that we are wrong. to prove that we are wrong. And then he guides us to the truth. And he guides us into all the truth. He doesn't speak on his own initiative. Whatever he hears, he speaks. So what he's heard the things of Jesus Christ, he speaks the things of Jesus Christ to us. He speaks the things of God to us. This is what he does. So he comes with this ministry and he discloses to you what is to come, and he shall glorify me. And you look at this passage and you say, I'm not sure the disciples fully grasp all that Jesus Christ was saying at this point in time. After Pentecost and after the coming of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit taking up residence within them and then guiding them in the truth, then I'm quite sure that they got it. But we're to get this too. Because the Spirit of God is necessary for you and for me. And He is given by God. He is sent. He proceeds. He comes. All of these are words that describe the provision that you have God coming to us. You don't live the Christian life on your own. You don't engage in Christian ministry on your own. If you did, we'd fail at both. We cannot live, we cannot serve, we cannot minister, we cannot do anything apart from the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus Christ said to his disciples. He said, I'm going to send you out. You're going to go and you're going to bear witness of me, but don't go until the Holy Spirit comes. Go to Jerusalem and wait there for the Holy Spirit, because do not make the mistake of going without the Holy Spirit, because you cannot engage in this ministry without Him. First, He must minister to you. Then He must minister through you. Because the ministry of Jesus Christ is the ongoing ministry of God. And the ministry of Father and Son and Holy Spirit is the ministry that takes place. Father planning, arranging the whole of our salvation, Jesus Christ accomplishing the whole of our salvation, and the Holy Spirit applying the whole of our salvation. And here we are in the midst of all this, and we have opportunity to see this great work accomplished. He's the helper. Four times it says He's the helper, three times it says He's the Spirit of truth, one time it says He's the Holy Spirit. He's with you. And His abiding presence is with you forever. He's teaching you and reminding you of the truth of Jesus Christ. He's witnessing in you and through you and to the lost with His convicting ministry and guiding ministry into the truth. It's interesting when you think even of a simple ministry like Vacation Bible School. And you have opportunity with these little children to hear the Word of God. And you speak the Word of God. And we try to do very clear, and we try a lot of different ways of presenting the Word and the truth, full well knowing that the ministry is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And that's why when I look at our world and I say our world is a world in trouble, we've abandoned Christianity. We have abandoned Christ. We have as a nation, we have abandoned God. And what I like to say is when you abandon God, you eventually live in a place where nobody wants to live. That's where we're headed. And you look at this and you say, what is the hope for such a country? What is the hope for us? Read the passage in the Bible. There's great hope for us because the Spirit of God is still accomplishing God's purposes in and through our lives. That's why it's so encouraging. So when I look at this world, I don't wring my hands. And I don't say, what has become of us? We're in trouble. We're all going to be overwhelmed. I say, we shall never be overwhelmed. We have the Spirit of truth. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Helper. And He's helping you. He's helping me. He's guiding us in the truth. And we should be on our knees before God saying, God, accomplish Your purposes in the world in which we live. And may we see your truth. And may we see your purposes being accomplished by your Holy Spirit in order that we may say, glory be to God. He shall glorify me. He shall glorify me. He doesn't say to the disciples, and he shall glorify you. They're the ones going out to witness. And if truth, if history is true, and if the stories of history are true, these disciples all bore witness with their lives, except for John. They all died. They were all murdered, martyred for the cause of Christ, to the glory of God, to the glory of God. So this is a great passage to encourage you. If you have loved ones and friends that don't know the Savior, you have the Holy Spirit who witnesses. He's an effective witness. We are an ineffective witness. Glory be to God, he's an effective witness. We cannot persuade people. He persuades people. We cannot shame people. He shames people. It's not our job to shame people. Our job is simply to tell the truth. May God accomplish his purposes in our lives, and may God accomplish his purposes in our world. We have a great God who is accomplishing those purposes to the glory of God. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, without which we are lost. We're thankful that you're accomplishing your purposes in our hearts. You're our helper. The Holy Spirit is our helper. You're helping us. You're also advocating for us, pleading for us, praying for us. So we're thankful what ministry you accomplish in us and you accomplish through us. But we are not sufficient, but the Holy Spirit is sufficient. You are sufficient, Father. We pray that Jesus Christ will be glorified. We pray that Jesus Christ will be glorified in such a way that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are glorified to the praise and the glory of God. And we pray for our nation. We pray for our as we celebrate the birth of our nation, the substance, the truth of this nation is Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray that you would revive that truth once again. So open our eyes to see the truth. Help us to be faithful witnesses, but may your Holy Spirit witness through us. May your truth be accomplished in this sinful world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the morning sermon at Hillcrest Bible Church. In addition to our website, hillcrestbible.org, you can also follow us on Facebook under Hillcrest Bible Church, or through Twitter under Hillcrest Bible, or subscribe to the sermon podcast on our sermons page or in iTunes.